Welcome to episode 45 of Autograph Weekly. Let me clear my throat.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage with Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Jeremy Daniels.
I'm Ben Martinez.
And I'm Mike Kane.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, beating your brain with knowledge and news every week until we replace our binders full of autographs with binders full of women. Guys, we record a thing called AW Extra before this podcast at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/autographweekly. We urge you to check us out over there. We talk about stuff that we don't cover on the podcast. Now, you guys might have noticed we didn't record last week. We really do apologize. Some stuff came up that we really could not avoid. Stacy will not be on the podcast, at least until December. His job has kind of demanded him to work on Sundays, which of course is when the podcast records. But Stacy will still be involved in the podcast. So he's going to be help writing the script and stuff and prepping for the podcast beforehand. He'll also have to do some stuff on the website, so you might get some articles through our blog. So he's not gone, and he'll probably be back after his schedule gets back to normal. But until then, it'll be me and all of our guest hosts. So
with Stacy not here is kind of like him sleeping during the episode. So
a little bit.
It's about the same thing, right?
A little bit. It's about basically the same thing. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's go ahead and get started with the news, Jeremy.
All right, got a couple articles here. The first one is pretty cool since The Walking Dead is in season three right now. This is a 2012 Cryptozoic, The Walking Dead Season 2 Autographs Guide. Even better than this is the set, the Walking Dead card set. The 2012 Cryptozoic, The Walking Dead Season 2 Autographs checklists for this year include nearly all of the main cast in it. It adds notable omissions missing from the Season 1 set and gives collectors a second chance at some of the bigger names. A few trading card sets achieved instant runway popularity that Cryptozoic's first Walking Dead set enjoyed. Within a couple months, box prices essentially tripled and now nearly run $150 to $200. Season 2 doubled its suggested retail price well ahead of its release date. Several factors can account for this, but the autograph lineup is certainly one of them. In the Season 2, just to give you a rundown, Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick Grimes, of course, is in there. Sarah Wayne Callies. She was also in Prison Break, too. Lori Holden. So the first, I think it's because of the demand, and since the show is so popular that I guess – you know, supply and demand, they just jack the prices up on the
and
second
Sarah's
season.
Actually simplified her signature to just Sarah now, which is, it'll be interesting to see if actually in the card set she signs it just Sarah, because that's how she does her TTMs.
Well, when you do sign a lot, you kind of...
You simplify it anyways, yeah. And, you know, I found that it's interesting the kind of way we're going with autographs. The stuff that's in really high demand, and it's kind of, I guess it's always been that way, but I've noticed it a lot more. The limited edition stuff, where there's only a few of them, or trading cards, certified trading cards, that stuff sells for a lot more than, let's say, if you got somebody TTM. It's just people want that guaranteed authenticity in a world filled with fakes. So it's very comforting. Go ahead.
I was going to cut you off here. There's pictures on this website here of the autographs, and Sarah Wayne, it does just say Sarah, so it is kind of is the shortened version.
Okay, cool.
And the cards look pretty cool. I don't have the first set. I know there's people out there that do, so I may have to try to get that first set as well as the second set, so since I'm a big Walking Dead fan.
And I'm really happy that, you know, a lot of TV shows and popular, really nerd TV shows such as The Avengers and stuff, they come out with these card sets to really support their show, and the nerds go crazy over them. So I'm really happy that that's the trend with nerdy TV shows. I'm not sure if Fringe has one, but I really wish... I don't know if they do or not, but I need to look into that because I'm a real big fan of Fringe. And that's about as nerdy as you can get. I mean, time travel and all that stuff.
It just sucks though that they did raise the price on the boxes. So.
Yeah, you know, that's like I said, that stuff's going to go higher. It's just the way it is. People want guaranteed certified autos.
And those autograph cards do go for a lot too, which is shocking. I mean, I don't want to say it's shocking, but like you said, it's supply and demand.
Well, look at like Christina Hendricks, let's say. Okay, Firefly is one of the biggest nerd iconic shows ever made. Christina Hendricks, if you get a signed 8x10 by her off eBay, you're looking at $40 maybe. But if you get a certified auto from the Firefly set, you're looking at $80 to $100 guaranteed. Part of that's rarity. Part of it's just that they, you know, it's real. So,
yeah. And people like Mad Men for her too.
And yeah, that's why they probably get it as Mad Men. Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. But right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next story, Jeremy.
All right, next story. I did not know this, but in 1980, Will Smith did spend a night in jail. And while he was there, he was signing autographs. It has been revealed that Will Smith was arrested in 1989 over an alleged assault that almost blinded a man in one eye. Will Smith, who was 20 back then, was charged with aggravated assault, criminal conspiracy, simple assault, and recklessly endangering another person. Those charges were later dropped, but according to a police report acquired by the National Enquirer, Smith allegedly asked his bodyguard, Charles Alston, to attack record promoter William Hendricks. Hendricks' left eye orbit was fractured in the attack, requiring six stitches. Will Smith had to spend a night in a cell in West Philadelphia Police Station, and other inmates were basically walking up to him, asking him for autographs. I mean, he's iconic, so I guess you would ask him for that if he's in jail. But they say it was the worst night of his life, and he wants to forget it ever happened. I didn't even know he was in jail, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he's always known for his clean image, so that's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Ben?
All right, so my first article is about Lance Armstrong and how they think his autographs are going to plummet now that his doping scandal has been revealed. He's got
good
his title stripped.
Could finally get one.
Yeah. right? He's a collector or who edits the blog SportsCollectorsDaily.com. He said, I wouldn't want to be holding a lot of Lance Armstrong memorabilia with the intent to sell it. I think it would be pretty difficult to sell. And then they compared him to some other people, like Olympians like Ben Johnson and Marion Jones, who were disqualified for doping. And they compared it to Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire, where everybody knows they're guilty and their values have plummeted because of that. And Sammy Sosa, too. So basically, that he's, now that he's been proven, I guess, proven to be guilty, that his autograph stuff will plummet. But
now, I disagree on McGwire, and, well, Bonds I agree with. But McGwire, his stuff sells for quite a bit still. I mean, it's not maybe at where it was in 1998, but even if he wasn't caught doping, then it would still wouldn't be close to 1998 because it's several years later. Like, his stuff is still pretty expensive, surprisingly, just because he had such a big impact on a lot of people during that season. Sosa's kind of the same way. I can see his stuff's dropped. Bonds has dropped a lot just because a lot of people don't like Bonds in general. But I think Armstrong might maybe an exception. Yeah, it's going to drop a little bit, obviously. But, I mean, Lance Armstrong dominated the news for, what, 7 years when he won the Tour de France. He was in the news all the time on ESPN. I mean, he was one of the, I think he was voted, like, the greatest athlete of the last decade or something like that.
Yeah,
on ESPN. So, I mean, he's a big person in sports history, and even though he got caught doping, he's still one of the biggest people in sports history.
Even for just like the inspirational thing, like, you know, the overcoming cancer, I would go for them. Yeah,
right. And I've been looking for a signed book from him for a while. I got one a few months ago, and it wasn't real. It was a forgery. But I've been looking for a real one, and this may be my chance to jump on it while people are selling because they think, you know, that it's going to plummet. That's a good thing for us buyers. Personally, because I think history will treat Lance Armstrong more generous over time than the steroid era of baseball. That's just my personal opinion. But Ben, go on.
All right. I got another story. It's about Keith Richards, and there's a fan who pointed out that his books that he recently autographed are auto-penned. In the article, it shows a picture of it, and if you can look at the picture, it's clearly like no one's pretty much signs that way. No one stops and stutters that much unless they're super old. And they basically explain how auto pens work and the stuff and who uses auto pens. But it's a pretty interesting story that someone pointed that out.
You know, it's becoming a disturbing trend that people auto pen their books, because used to be auto penning a book was a big no-no because that was like your book. Like, you took pride in signing your book. That's something you wrote. But In the last few years, you had people like Hillary Clinton, Sarah Palin. Several people have auto-penned their books with regularity. And these are being sold as authentic all the time. Because there's several out there. I apologize for my voice. I was sick a couple days ago. But, yeah, this does not surprise me. It does surprise me that the signature is so noticeably auto-penned. Because auto-pens are getting very good these days. And I actually talk about a tip on AW Extra this week on, you know, discovering auto pens and identifying them. so watch AW Extra for that. But it's a disturbing trend that I think, sadly, is going to keep on going until there's a big uproar from the autograph community that's saying, stop, these are not real, these are being sold as real, you need to just sign the stuff or don't sign the stuff, because this is getting ridiculous. It's almost a middle ground between, and auto pens have been around for years, it's almost a middle ground between authentic autographs and digital autographs, which we are bound to get to, but we as autograph collectors want to slow that down as much as possible, because digital autographs are not good for autograph collectors in the true sense of the form of an autograph. But it's disturbing, and like I said, I don't know how much we can do about it, but we need to raise awareness, at least for the ones we know, like Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton, and identify those and create sites dedicated to showing, hey, if your signature looks exactly like this, it's not real. Do not sell it. You know, treat it as a normal book that has not been signed. So that's my opinion on that, my rant, if you will. But really good story. That needs to get out there, that there's a lot of those that are auto-pinned. I actually almost bought a book signed by the entire Rolling Stones band. It actually matched up perfectly with another book that was signed by the entire Rolling Stones band, except the signatures were smaller. So I don't know how the auto-pen machines exactly work, but apparently you can make the signatures smaller and bigger. And it was the exact same signatures, only smaller, and I almost got ripped on it. I almost paid a lot of money for it. But then I did my research, which we always talk about. Do your research before you buy something big. And I stopped it because I knew not legit. So, guys, watch out before you buy anything autographed, especially books these days. Make sure there's not an auto pin version out there. All right. Is that your last news story, Ben?
Yep.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to my news stories. This first one is about a pretty awesome card. And if you've heard of couples naming their babies after sports stars, a Houston couple is taking that a step further. They hope to have a baby because of a sports star. Basically, it talks about this guy that owns a card shop, and he has a card that was put out in 1998, I believe. And it's actually signed by Walter Payton and Barry Sanders. And the reason this is so rare is, first of all, Walter Payton died in 1999. And it's the only certified card like this. And it's estimated to go for around $20,000. Which seems really ridiculous to me. I don't think it'll hit that. They're hoping to get $20,000. If you want to spend $20,000 on a Barry Sanders, Walter Payton dual signed card, this guy, like I said, owns a card shop. This may be for you, but personally, I don't think it'll reach $20,000. Maybe $8,000 or something like that. But $20,000 just seems like crazy. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's. I think that's way too much. Yeah. I still even think 8,000 is pushing it, too.
Well, the guy says if it sells... the reason they need the money is because he's getting in vitro, I think, and they need the money to do in vitro. He says if they get the money, he's going to name the son Barry if it's a boy. So that's interesting. But neat little story there about a pretty rare card, but I don't think it'll go for 20,000. I mean, 20,000 is a lot of money for an autograph. You can get a lot of huge name stars that are really rare for under $20,000. So, yeah. Okay, let's move on to my next story. And this is a pretty big one because Sir Roger Moore has stopped signing autographs. So he explains that he's trying to avoid anybody asking for autographs now. I'm plagued by autograph dealers outside my hotels. Some even come in demanding autographs, saying they won't leave until I sign, which we always talk about. The IP douchebags, the eBay douchebags, that, I mean, this is their job, so they're very, very adamant when they come to IPing, and they bug these people until they just say, screw it, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm not going to deal with this crap, and that's what's happened with Sir Roger Moore. It says they're often aggressive, pushy, and rude, with little consideration for me, my wife, or other guests. I know they sell stuff, as they are never satisfied with just one. So this just goes to prove, we talk about this almost every show, the eBay assholes, pardon my French, assholes who go out and bother these people to the point where they stop signing for everybody. So, guys, be polite. Just be polite. Okay, even if you do eBay and you IP, okay, I understand. That's your job. Be polite. These people are providing you with something that they don't owe you. I mean, they're doing you a favor. So the least you could do is be polite, considerate for them and their family.
Yeah. I mean, Zane, I can honestly say I'm surprised more people haven't kind of shut down like him. I mean, I know Ringo has, obviously.
Right.
But I'm surprised more people don't.
You know, it's again, pushing this toward that digital autograph. Like I said, that end goal that we're headed to, but we don't want to get to. When people stop signing like this, I think that just pushes us one step further toward the digital autograph, which we want to stay away from.
And I think it's a level of tolerance, too. It depends who you're dealing with. You know, Roger Moore is older, and I think the older people having all these IPers just hounding him, and I just think your tolerance level's smaller than someone who's younger that, okay, whatever.
Somebody brought up Ralph Baer in chat, and we'll talk about him later on. I actually have a thing I want to talk about him, but Mike, go on with your new segment.
I mean, one more thing on Roger Moore.
Yeah,
too.
Go ahead.
I know he specifically mentions hotels in that article. What a lot of people have to realize is, like, when a celebrity's at a hotel, like, that's their house.
Right.
So walking into that hotel after somebody is like walking into somebody's house. Like, I've never gone into a hotel after anybody, ever.
Right.
And I think that's sort of the key there. Like, there has to be a level of privacy, and obviously enough people have sort of crossed that level where he's just like, enough. So,
well, I know Ben does IP, and he's done hotels before, but I think Ben just waits in the lobby, right?
Yeah, I just wait in the lobby or outside, yeah.
But I think these people are, like, going to the door and, like, you know, basically demanding an autograph. Like, it gets ridiculous. It gets to the point where it's just insane.
Room service.
Yeah, room service. Can I have your autograph? I'll go away if you give me an autograph. Well, how about two? Just give me two autographs. Well, maybe three if you want, you know. It just keeps on going that route. And it's not good, but.
Nope.
Mike?
All right. Well, I love this article here. Basically what it is it's the Orioles and the Yankees are playing playoff game. And couple Maryland state troopers decide to ask Derek Jeter and Nick Swisher for autographs in the middle of the game. Well, in the middle of the game, towards the end of the game. But I just think it's hilarious because doing a lot of IPing, you always see the employees who can't ask for autographs and they get to meet the biggest people and they can never do it. It's like the cardinal rule, like the workers cannot ask for autographs. And here are these two cops asking for autographs, getting the autographs, which I guess is good for them, even if they were reprimanded. I just think, I don't know, I think it's funny. And I guess my take on it is, and I don't want to knock on any Baltimore Orioles fans here because, I mean, you know, you made the playoffs this year and my team didn't. But, like, act like you've been there before, guys. Like, come on. Like, you're in the playoffs and all of a sudden you're starstruck by Derek Jeter. I mean, come on. You know? I mean, Jesus.
That's an interesting view of how people have to act when they are working with a celebrity, or if you're working a security, there is a level of professionalism you have to uphold and not hound the celebrity you're trying to protect or set up a stage for an autograph, because they get that everywhere, and it kind of, you know, comes with that separation. When they are preparing for an event or something, they don't want to be hounded by autograph hounds, even if you are a security guy. They want to concentrate on the event. Now, I'm not saying if you're a security guy, it's improper to ask for an autograph. I'm saying you have to pick the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a certain responsibility to respect the person you're watching. So
I think it's a sticky situation.
It is. You know, it's very complicated.
It's a trooper asking a baseball, you know, especially Derek Jeter, hey, can you sign this? You know, what are you gonna say to a trooper? No.
Yeah.
you ain't gonna get out of the stadium.
Well, in truth, you know, a trooper probably have a lot better success rate than just an average Joe, because those people are usually respected by society, usually.
Yep.
They're more likely to get, it's kind of the same thing as a military man. If somebody's in uniform and asking for an autograph, they're almost always going to get it. Or same thing for a younger person. So, you know, there's certain things that almost increase your chances of getting a graph if you're IP. By no means am I advocating, like, put on a uniform and go IP. But I'm saying those people do have a better chance. All right, let's move on to the web deal of the week. And this week we have a web deal coming from Newbery Comics. And this is Queen Latifah, the Queen. You can get a signed CD sleeve by her and her CD for the total of $8.99. A great deal, guys. We always talk about Newbery. They're a great store. They ship out their stuff on time. They're almost always authentic. I think there was one case of an auto pen. But when that happens, the whole world blows up. The whole autograph world blows up. and it's known that that's an auto pin, so it usually gets corrected. But it's almost always safe to buy with Newberry, guys. Queen Latifah, it's been up for a while, so you might want to hurry up and buy it because it may sell out, especially after we talk about it on here. So go check it out, guys. Newberry.com. It's, I believe, in the L's. It's not in the select titles. Is it in the select titles? I think it may be.
It's an $8.99 or less.
It's an $8.99 or less. So go to that section on the autograph booklet section, and you'll find that autograph there. Again, a great deal for a Hollywood actress. And did she rap? Is that what she did?
Yes.
Yeah.
And rapper. So there you go. Let's go ahead and move on to the AW Hot List. This is a list of people who are signing great, and this is over the past 2 weeks since we didn't get to come to you last week. Number three, Thomas Harris, the author, the guy that wrote Hannibal and Silence of the Lambs. Great author, and obviously turned into one of the best film franchises in the last 20 years. If you want that address, it is at writeastar.com. Number two, Rosemary Harris. She's actually been a pretty good signer for the past year or two now, and a lot of people got her back last week, so that's another one. She was in Spider-Man. She was the grandma in Spider-Man. And number one, Jimmy Smits. A lot of people are getting Jimmy Smits back, and actually our buddy Rod got a costume card from Dexter from Jimmy Smits. He didn't send the costume card, but he got it back signed by Jimmy Smits. And the interesting thing was it was signed and inscribed to Rodney, but on the back it said authentic autograph. So I guess he just had those laying around and he just sent it out TTM and actually signed it to Rodney at the time. It's weird how that worked. I don't know if it was a promo, maybe they used for a convention. Sometimes that happens. And I know Dexter does a lot of conventions, or the Dexter cast does a lot of conventions. But a really interesting return there, and a lot of people are getting him back. Sadly, I have not got him TTM. I sent him a Star Wars 8x10, never got it back. So USPS there for you. So that is our list. Number three, Thomas Harris. Number two, Rosemary Harris, two Harrises. And number one, Jimmy Smits. And here's the update I was going to talk to you guys about. Ralph Baer is no longer signing TTM due to eBayers selling his autograph for ridiculous amounts of money. He talked about, he actually is sending out a pre-done note to everybody, typed note, talking about why he doesn't sign. And he did these little sketches of the video. Ralph Baer basically invented the video games system, I think Pong and also the Odyssey. So he did these little sketches of the first video game system he put together, and those are selling on eBay for like $200, $100 now. So he saw that and stopped signing, so Ralph Baer, you can scratch him off the list. He's got pissed off and is no longer signing. So that sucks. Another one bites the dust. But we're just seeing those, you know, crop up. It seems like every week now. Let's move on to TTM and Graph of the Week. Last week, we had Top Shelf TTMs with a Sandy Koufax TTM return, which is super rare. Going up against Manda Panda with the Walking Dead cast photo. I think she got five people to sign that. She sent it to Melissa McBride, and she had five other cast members sign it, so that was a really cool return. And the winner is Top Shelf TTMs with the Sandy Koufax TTM return, 72% to 28%. This week we have Ryan Michael Moberly with a Felipe Petit return. He was the guy who is the tightrope walker, the most famous tightrope walker of all time. And he's going up against Rodney Gorham with a Jenny McCarthy TTM return. So those are your choices. Since we didn't have a show last week, guys, what we're doing is we kind of cut last week in half. So it's a week and a half. That's what we use to pick this week's. The next week we'll use the last part of the last week and then next week. So that's how we'll do that. Jeremy, you got Graph of the Week?
Yep, Graph of the Week for last week, or I guess a week before or whatever. We had Neri Lemus with a Walking Dead cast IP. I think it's a total of 19 signatures, which is just awesome. A lot of great signatures there. Going up against Trey Jones with a dual signed Larry Walker, Tony La Russa book he got for $2. And the winner is Neri Lemus with the Walking Dead cast signed his photo, 70% to 30%. And this week we have Russell Lee with Dustin Hoffman. He got in person, so Russell Lee continuing his IPs, going up against Jeff Will with the Gene Simmons signed book he got for $2.50.
And guys, I want to mention this. We get a lot of submissions for Graph of the Week, which is awesome, and we pushed you every week to do that. You guys do a great job now of getting your submissions in for Graph of the Week, because you want to win that big prize at the end for Graph of the Year. But if you send us a purchase, remember, you have to put how much you paid for that purchase. If you pulled it out of a pack of cards, you need to tell us that you pulled it out of a pack of cards and how much the pack of cards cost. Because the way we do it is we work off of deals. And if you just tell us you got a certified auto of somebody, a football player, that's not enough information to figure out if you got a good deal or not, because that's really what we work off of. So please remember to tell us the price that you paid for the autograph. TTMs are obvious because they're just usually 90 cents when it takes us in the stamps. And IPs are usually free, but if you paid for a convention, please tell us that so we can take that into consideration. But do keep those submissions coming in. Just go to facebook.com/autographweekly. Post on our wall if you've got an autograph that you want considered for Graph or TTM of the week. And like I said, just remember, tell us how much you paid for the item. We did have the September Autograph of the Month poll up the last 2 weeks, actually. And the recap of the people involved were Michael Macholtz with the Stan Musial TTM, Robert Dorfman with a Jay-Z signed book for $2, Eric Larson with a Willie Nelson TTM, Russell Lee with a Molly Ringwald IP, Top Shelf TTMs with a Vin Scully IP, Alex Jorts with a Martin Lando IP, Ryan Patrick with the Christopher Plummer TTM, and Russell Lee with the Hall & Oates IP. And the winner is Russell Lee with the Molly Ringwald IP, 33%. The runners-up were Ryan Patrick with a Christopher Plummer TTM, 30%, Michael Macholtz with the Stan Musial TTM, 12%, and Robert Dorfman with a Jay-Z signed book for $2 with 12%. So a pretty close race there, but Russell Lee is the winner. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. That's RACKRS.com. Rackers produces custom trading cards for baseball, basketball, football, hockey, and wrestling, and even movie cards. These sleek matte finish trading cards have been created for the autograph collector. Whether you write TTM or Graph IP, Rackers are a great upgrade from those boring index cards. For IPers, be prepared for any celebrity you may run into. Purchase a pack of Rackers cards and use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, that's one word, AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, to receive a free sample pack with purchase. That's Rackers.com, RACKRS.com. All right, let's move on to the voicemail feedback. And we only got one question, but it's a good one.
Hey, guys, Dennis St. Laurent here. My question is, fairly recently, I went to an estate sale. An elderly gentleman had passed away. His wife was selling their possessions so she could move in with their daughter and pay off their debts. One of the things he had gotten when he was a boy was a color signed picture of George Reeves as Superman, which, as we all know, is the rarest of the rare. Probably retail $4,000 to $5,000 is what I'm thinking. She didn't know. She's only asking $100. I was very torn. Do I just pay the $100 and run off with it, or do I tell her? And I ended up telling her, letting her know, and giving her some tips on how to sell it so she could get her maximum dollars for this item. My question is, in a similar situation, what would you guys have done? Would you have told her? Would you have paid it, the $100, or would you, what would you have done? Thank you. Love the podcast. Bye.
Such a good question, and I guess you want the honest answer, and personally, I would have bought that son of a gun and got the heck out of there. And that I don't like to think that's a thing on my character. I wouldn't sell it. If I got that, I would not sell it. I would get it for myself. But I would feel bad that the person didn't know what it was. But I was just gonna take the professional approach here, I'd be like, yes, of course I'd tell her. You know, I'm a nice guy, I'd tell her. But like, if I was in that situation, I think I would probably buy it and keep it and show it to you guys on video right when I got home and said, "Holy crap, mother of God!" Like, if you thought my freak out with Harrison Ford was crazy, Well, that would be insane. So, yeah, that's just my honest opinion. What do you? What would you guys do?
Two things. What I would do, being an estate sale, I probably would have done the right thing and told the person. But if it was just like a regular yard sale, someone just doing together on a weekend, whatever, I probably wouldn't have said anything. The other thing is, since they were selling it for $100, I think maybe they did a little bit of research into it, because no one's going to throw an autograph out there for $100. Yeah, okay, it's George Reeves, but maybe they did a little bit of research on it before they actually put it out there. I don't know. But I think, like I said, for the estate sale, I would have said something. If it was just a regular, you know, weekend garage sale, yard sale, I probably wouldn't have.
Right. Yeah. It's a tough situation. And I'm just being truthful. If she needed the money, if she was destitute and like needed the money, then you're probably right. I would tell her. But if it's a nice fancy house and I can tell that she's well off, yes, her husband died. That's sad. But if she's well off, then I would probably be more likely to take it. That's just what I would do. So what about you guys? Go on, tell us what you would do.
I guess I'd be honest to.
You guys are making me look like a douchebag here.
I'd feel kind of snake bitten if I didn't, you know, like karma would get me or something. Like, you know, hey, I got to be honest here.
She got $100 out of it.
Yeah, but I don't know. It'd just be bad on my conscience, I guess.
All right, Mike.
All right. I'm with Zane 100% on this one. Are you kidding me? Like, first of all, it's not my responsibility to do the job of the buyer and the seller. Exactly. I'm the buyer. And so, you know what? I think the advantage always seems to go to the seller. Like, we don't know if they're fake half the time. We don't know if they're real half the time. You know what I mean? So I feel like the seller seems to always get the leg up. So I get a leg up on this lady that wants to sell it for $100. You kidding me? I'm on that all day.
Thank you.
All day.
I totally agree.
I could see Zane walking around with it in his hand, got his iPhone, looking it up.
Whatever, dude. I'd be hiding that thing. I would pick it up, put it under my coat, hustle it over, say, $100, here you go, run to my car, and get here as fast as possible. That's exactly
kind of like Willy Wonka, like that scene in Willy Wonka where he just like takes the ticket.
Exactly. I don't want anybody to be like, I don't want like a relative of the family being like, hey, that's worth a lot more than $100. I'm just going to sneak it over there, get it, and get out of there. That's exactly what I do. I've done it before. I mean, with like lower end items, and obviously not a George Christopher Reeve, but I've done it with items that like, ooh, this is signed by somebody and it's a pretty good person. I don't want somebody to say, oh, that's a memory there. I don't want to sell that or something like that. So I kind of hide it in between two other items and I kind of throw it up there and say, okay, this has this price on it. I don't really let them see the item exactly. And then I get out of there just because I don't want anything happening in between me and buying this item. And it'd be like 10,000 times that if it was Christopher Reeve. Anyways, great question. Love that question. Thanks for sending it in. If you guys have a question, just give us a call at 347-55-GRAPH. That's 347-554-7274. You don't have to talk to anybody. It's straight to voicemail. You can record the voicemail as many times as possible to make yourself sound very professional. So, again, that's 347-554-7274 or 347-55-GRAPH. All right, let's move on to the Facebook questions. And Marvin Ford asks, with the increase in prices of stamps coming soon, do you think the post office will ever lower them or get rid of them altogether if we stop buying them? Heck no. Dude, stamps are here to stay. They're going to increase. They're not going to go down ever. Don't even consider them going down because it's not going to happen.
And if you stop buying, they're going to be losing money, so they're just going to raise them again.
Exactly. If we stop buying, they're just going to raise them. So that's exactly right. And we've talked about this before, just because they're raising stamps a penny does not mean you need to go out and buy a ton of forever stamps, because they're still going to work and you're going to save money. No, if you buy a book of forever stamps and they're going to be raised a penny, you are literally only saving a dollar. So the gas it takes you to get down to the post office early before they raise the price of stamps, you'll spend more on gas to get to the post office than you will save getting 100 stamps. And a lot of people don't even buy stamps and rolls. They buy it in books. So just because the price of stamps going up, don't freak out. It's not a big deal. It's not going to raise the price that you spend on TTMs a lot. It will be a little bit more. But, I mean, the price of stamps is pretty low, in my opinion, anyway. To send something, you know, halfway or all the way across the United States only costs 50 cents, less than 50 cents. That's ridiculous. That's really cheap, guys.
Do we know when this is taking effect, that the prices are going up?
I'm not exactly sure. What we'll do is we'll do a news story about it next week. We'll do that for you, so we'll have that news for you, because I don't have it right here with me. But don't freak out about the stamp increase. It's really not a big deal. Now, the stuff that may get you is when they start raising prices, which they are raising prices for packages, and if you do eBay stuff, that can affect you a little bit, because that takes away from your bottom line. But TTM-wise, we use regular stamps. It's not going to affect us that much. A dollar more for an entire roll of stamps is not a big deal. So, that's just my opinion. You guys got any ideas about that?
Nah.
Nope. Okay. Great input. All right. Next question is coming from Michael Macholtz. What exactly do you guys look for to prove a secretarial autograph? This is an interesting question. I think all of us get emails asking if something is real or not all the time. And we do our best to tell you guys. What we look for are patterns from TTMs that are not there in authentic IP autographs. Now, you got to be careful, because IP autographs can look a lot different than TTM autographs. So there's going to be some differences there. IPs are usually more rushed. So you can't exactly say, okay, it doesn't look exactly like an IP, therefore it's secretarial. The main thing you want to look for is handwriting in the inscription. That's the one thing that can give a secretarial away right off the bat. Because a lot of secretaries, they'll practice the signature, and they'll get the signature pretty much down pat. But they don't get the handwriting down pat, because the handwriting is something that's really hard to change. I mean, you've done it your whole life. So, for instance, if somebody always writes, I think Dick Van Dyke, perfect example. You can kind of tell on his signature that it's a lot different than his IP, but his inscription really gives it away, because he always writes hi and then writes your name. Hi, Zane. Dick Van Dyke. But on his IPs, he'll write hi, and the H is totally different than the H in the TTM signatures, which are secretarial. And that's a dead giveaway. Somebody's handwriting does not change. Now, it may change over time. You know, if it's something signed 20 years later, the handwriting has a chance to change, but it doesn't change within a matter of a few months or even a couple of years. So that's something you can really look at to give a secretary away. Also, usually when people have secretaries sign their stuff, they have one noticeable difference in their signature to tell the difference between an authentic signature and a fake signature, because a celebrity really wants to know and be able to authenticate their own autograph and tell the difference. So if something, let's say Debbie Reynolds is a perfect example, her signature is almost exactly the same from her secretary, except for one thing. The S at the end curves back and to the left, and the actual signature, the IP signatures, go straight to the right. That's consistent in every single signature. She even uses her secretary signature on her website as her logo. So that one little thing shows you the difference between a real autograph and a secretarial autograph. And several people do that. There's that one little thing that shows you the difference. Do you guys got anything to add to this? It's really all you think about.
Yeah, I mean, you want to compare and contrast. You know, I always go with, I always check the IPs with the ones from the TTMs. And you normally, like I said, you could tell, but there are a lot of them that are very similar. And like I said, if I have questions, I'll go to Zane. Zane's real good at this stuff. He's good at pointing secretarials out to legit. So, you know, if you guys do have any questions or you're not sure, just ask one of us and we'll be glad to help you. But, you know, just compare and contrast, that's all you can really do between the in-person signatures.
Yeah, and as you do it more, you get used to it and you get better at it. So practice makes perfect, as they say. You guys got anything else to add?
No, just spend a lot of time on it, I guess, when you're doing it, because, like, you may find something that you won't find after, you know, just taking a brief glance at it.
As a collector, it really, I don't know, there's something about people that don't care if they have secretarials that bugs me. And I understand that if you're a collector, you can collect however you want. But I think if you're a serious collector, you really need to look at your collection and try to figure out, is this secretarial? And if it is, you need to put it away from your authentic autographs. I'm a real big advocate of that. Because I think when that stuff gets mixed together, if you died tomorrow, that stuff gets sold. And I know that's not the biggest problem. If you die, that's not the biggest problem. That's going to, you know, obviously your family's going to have, but that stuff gets sold as authentic, and that's a problem, because that stuff gets flooded back into the market, and I think that's obviously not good for the hobby when that stuff is sold. And secretarials are sold all the time on eBay, even get slabbed by PSA, so it's one of those things that happens all the time, but it needs the I wish I could do something to stop it. And this is the closest I can get to stopping it, is telling you guys how I discover secretarials, who the known secretarials are, and really try to get you guys to look at your collections and pull that crap out of there. So
dispose of them.
Dispose. Well, you don't have to dispose of them, but put them in a pile marked as preprints, secretarials, auto pens. Put all that stuff together and make sure it's marked as such. But let's go ahead.
Hold on. Go ahead. If you even do that, and like you said, if you do happen to die, whatever, and people are going to sell, you think they're actually going to say, oh, what's a preprint?
Then in that case, you're right. I have all my stuff marked, auto pen, preprint, all that stuff. Write a note. Put it on top of the pile. Do not sell these. These are not real, or something like that. Let's move on to the last question. We didn't have many questions this week. Aaron Magnuson asks, what is the longest TTM letter you have ever written, and who was it to? Mine's going to be Richard Feynman's daughter. Big Richard Feynman fan. His autograph goes for like $8,000 to $20,000. Probably never have one. Of course, I've said that about Harrison Ford and Stephen King, too, so you never know. But I wrote a letter to his daughter just thanking her because her dad was a genius. And telling her how much her dad's affected my life and, like, really changed my outlook on the world, truly. And it was a big old long letter, and that's one, the one that comes to mind that's probably the longest. How about you guys?
Mine, believe it or not, is George Foreman. It's kind of a long story, but I used to have a George Foreman autographed boxing glove, and I like George Foreman, always liked George Foreman as a boxer. And kind of, you know, grew up idolizing him. So I wanted to get him. I knew he signed TTM. So basically, I didn't type it out. I actually hand wrote the letter, basically explaining, you know, growing up watching him, blah, blah, blah. I used to have a signed glove, but, you know, like I said, I sold it when I did sell my big collection. And then I really, you know, would be, you know, really want his autograph. And it was right. Like I said, it was about a page and a half handwritten, you know, kind of personal. And end story, I did get a – he did sign a 4x6. So,
cool. Well, he's one of those guys that's very picky. I'm pretty sure he just reads his letters and decides mm-hmm. whether or not you deserve an autograph. So those are the people that it really pays off to do a handwritten letter and make it heartfelt. Mm-hmm. Because if it's a bad letter, if it's just a form letter, they're just going to be like, into the trash it goes. How about you guys? The longest letter you've ever written. I don't know if Mike's done TTM enough, but – Ben, I know you probably have.
Yeah, mine is actually Emma Stone for stupid reasons, basically saying I love her. So
creepy, very creepy.
Yeah.
Somebody in chat says, isn't it illegal to forge signatures? It is illegal, but it's very hard to prove, especially very hard to prove who did it. Because, like, on eBay, somebody can say, well, I didn't forge a signature. I bought it from somebody that told me it was authentic. I didn't know it wasn't authentic. But the way eBay works, you are responsible for that signature if you're selling it. So even if you got it from somebody else as authentic, it's your job to figure out if it is authentic or not and find out if it's authentic. If it's not authentic, it's your fault. But that's not the way the law looks at it. It's very hard to, you know, the only real people that get arrested for forgery are the ones who have giant rings set around fake autographs, forging autographs, and a Project Bullpen, which happened in the 90s, that busted a lot of those rings up, and it really, you know, showed how many forgeries are in our market, which it's insane the amount of forgeries that are out there through those really horrible forging circles. So that's really the only time the law goes after anybody is when they have a set, you know, a big ring of people doing this and a lot of stuff going out, people making millions of dollars from forging. That's really when they tackle it. They don't really care about somebody that's a little kid sitting in his house forging trading cards and selling them on eBay. You know, that's not their main goal, their main person to go after. So, anyways, Michael, you got anything to add? I don't think you've ever written
one. Yeah, I mean, any IP. Of the ones I write are usually just about, you know, a half a page or so.
Right.
So,
all right.
Nothing crazy.
Let's go ahead and move on to the Kane Chronicles, the segment of the show where Michael Kane tells us about his IP stories. So take it away, Michael.
All right. I get a good one this week. So as you might have heard, this past March, I got Bruce Springsteen IP on an album. which is pretty sweet. It's one of my favorite autographs, and it's hung behind my couch. So he was playing a show this past week about 2 hours from my house, and I figured, can I get him twice in 1 year? You know, I figured, why not? I got a photo with him. I blew it up to a big, obnoxious, like 11 by 14, and me and Bruce. So I figured, why not, right? So, you know, Zane, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard is Bruce to get, you think?
Hard.
Yeah, like a 9.5.
Yeah, right? I'd say 9.
So I'm wasting 2 hours, you know, I'm driving down there, and I'm thinking like, you know, oh, I got him once, I'll get him again, no problem, right? He's a good guy. So we get down there, and of course there's about 40 people waiting, by the backstage area. All the cars are driving in, the whole band's driving in, giving a wave, and nobody's signing anything, nobody's rolling down, they're just kind of waving, and that's it. You know, nobody's really kind of rolling the windows down, everybody's sort of waving through the glass, so I'm figuring Bruce will be the same thing, so... But a quarter mile up the road, you could see all the Escalades kind of turning. So what we sort of did is, here's a little tip for you. We, you know, we're at the four-way. It's a big four-way intersection. We're in the middle where the grassy median is. And we have somebody across the way hitting, like, that, like, walk button. You know, like the walk button you hit on the pole to change the light to red.
Right.
So it's pretty common sense, right?
Right.
So the Escalade comes flying down. We have somebody across the street. They hit the walk button. So just as he's pulling up to the light, hey, look, it turns red. Look at this. Just our luck. So then we walk around to his window, and I have my big creepy picture of me and him, arm in arm, buddies. And I put it right up to the window and say, Bruce, sign a picture of me and you. And he goes, no problem. He rolled the window down, took my pen, what's your name, Michael, signed it beautifully across it in silver pink pen, and signed an album for my friend. And then he took off, and he went down and waved to the other people and went right in. So there you go.
That's awesome. That. Wow. Success story.
2-1 year. Doesn't get crazy.
Congratulations,
right?
So man.
He did it. But honestly, guys, I mean, like, try to make a point when you're IPing to get photos with the people. But the fact that I had a photo with him, and I'm clearly not selling it, I'm putting it on my wall at home,
right.
I think that kind of made him a little more apt to... kind of roll down and sign. So cool. Photos with signed are always like really good. So
very cool.
That is my that's my advice.
Success story that beats the Tiger Woods story, which was a failure.
Yep.
Let's move on to Just the Tip, and I actually made a video up on our YouTube channel. We're trying to make a video every week with Just the Tip to show what we're talking about, because it's not always perfect for the audio form to explain something. And this week I showed how to make a cut signature out of a book. And you're thinking, well, you just cut the signature out, right? Well, you got to make sure the signature is going to look right cut out, and make sure that there are actually no inscriptions or possibly ink from the title page dipping into the zone of the autograph. So when you cut the autograph out, it's just the autograph and no marks outside that kind of intruding in, making the signature not look as good. Now, the reason you want to do this, you want to turn it, and we talked about this the last episode, you want to turn this into a PSA piece, a slabbed piece, just like actually Boss did with his pieces, and he just got those in last week. If you want to see that, just watch AW Extra. You can turn it into a PSA piece, or you can turn it into a matte piece, which you put a photo above and make it into a really nice framed piece. So basically what you do, you're going to cut the page out first, the page the autograph's on. Don't worry about getting around the autograph or anything. Just cut it right down the edge of the book page. You can do that with scissors. If you want to save the book, use scissors. But I urge everybody to go out and get a paper slicer. They're like $11 at Walmart. If you're an autograph collector, you need one. You can actually take the razors out of the paper slicer and cut through the book and cut the page out. If you don't care about the book, that's the way to go, because it does cut multiple pages when you do that. But that's the way I do in the video. Cut that out. Use the paper slicer to get nice even edges, almost the size of an index card. Cut and leave some room around the signature, so there's some room to maybe matte around it. If it's too close to the signature, it just looks really bad. So leave like an inch or two around the signature so you have some room to work with. And that's about as simple as it is, guys. If you want to see how it's done, again, the video's up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/autographweekly. We show exactly how to do it, and it's pretty nifty, especially if you have books you want to sell. Sometimes it's hard to sell the book, and that's what we talked about. You can convert it to PSA, or you can convert it to a mad piece. So go check that out. Again, youtube.com/autographweekly. Now it's time for the weekly giveaway. Last week we gave away a Brittany Palmer signed 4x6 photo. And the winner is Randy Witt. I think it's Witt, maybe White, but it's W-I-T-T-E. Congratulations, Randy. You have won the Brittany Palmer signed 4x6. Please send us a message on Facebook or an email at autographweekly@gmail.com telling us your address. We'll get that out to you ASAP. This week, up for grabs is a Phyllis Diller signed IC. A Phyllis Diller signed IC index card. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you the keyword right here. The keyword is comedian. The keyword is comedian. All you have to do is go over to facebook.com/autographweekly and post that keyword on our Facebook wall, and boom, you're automatically entered to win the Phyllis Diller signed index card. Phyllis Diller recently passed away, and she signed a lot TTM, but obviously you can't get her TTM anymore. She was a great comedian, and she was actually a pioneer in women's comedy. So if you're interested in that, just post the keyword up on the Facebook wall. Again, it's facebook.com/autographweekly. Simple as that. Now let's move on to a new segment that we call Give Me Your Autograph. Won't you please sign on the dotted line? Won't you please sign on the dotted line? Hey, 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 give me your autograph. This week, we actually had three entries for Give Me Your Autograph. First, we have Chris LeMay. You can find him at facebook.com/horrorautographs. That's H-O-R-R-O-R, graphs, facebook.com/horrorautographs. Also, we have Ryan Patrick. You can find him at youtube.com/4077TTM. That's youtube.com/4077TTM. And last, we have Robert Bowles. You can find him at youtube.com/LilMrHardcore. That's L-I-L, Mr. Hardcore. youtube.com/LilMrHardcore. If you guys want to be featured in Give Me Your Autograph, all you have to do is send us a photo of your autograph personalized to Autograph Weekly. So if I was going to do this, I'd go ahead and get out a white piece of paper, say, to Autograph Weekly, you rock, Zane Savage. I'd sign that. I'd scan it. It's the best way to go, guys. We really like scans, but if you don't have a scanner, you can take a photo of it. Send that photo to autographweekly@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook wall. We'll take that photo and actually post it on our giant wall we have over at autographweekly.com with everybody else's autograph, and we'll mention whatever you want us to mention on the podcast like we just did. So if you have a YouTube channel, we'll mention that. If you have a website, we'll mention that. If you have a Facebook page, fan page, we can mention that. So this is kind of your chance to be included in the podcast. So again, just send those entries in to autographweekly@gmail.com. Email and submit. We did have a few deaths to go over. Eddie Yost, who was a great TTM signer, a baseball player, passed away. George McGovern passed away. He ran for president, I think, in one of the worst defeats of all time, but he was known as a dove in politics. He passed away. And Slater Martin, Hall of Fame basketball player, passed away. So if you guys have any autographs of these people, and I assume a lot of people do because two of these guys were very good TTM signers, post those on our Facebook wall as a tribute to them. Also, guys, check out Autograph Weekly's website, obviously, autographweekly.com. That's where we post everything. Everything Autograph Weekly related is there. Our polls, our news, everything, guys, autographweekly.com. Also, we're still trying to build a podcast network. We're looking for people to host shows about certain hobbies, talking about coin collecting, stamp collecting. If you guys are good in that and you're good on the mic, we want you to host your own podcast and be involved with Autograph Weekly. We're trying to build a network to really get the main voices in these hobbies on a podcast to inform people about those hobbies. So if you're interested, just email me, zane@zanesavage.com, and we'll talk about it, getting you your own show. Also, guys, rightstar.com is my private address website. Go check that out. Some amazing successes over the past few weeks. Saw somebody just get one back from Bobby Knight, so that's another big one to add to the list, the growing list of great stars signing through Rightstar. Identify your autographs on Facebook. That's my Facebook page. You post your autographs, and we try to figure out who the heck you have. A lot of people have a stack of unknown autographs in their collection, and our mission is to identify those autographs. And
please check out my website, theautographboss.com. I've been updating it with my successes over the last 3 weeks since I have been out of the loop, so everything is up there now. Project hit the deck. Me and Zane and Stacy are doing. All that stuff is updated. I just got to put Zane's successes up there, so check that out. And just check me out on Facebook. That's about it.
Just check me out on my blog. I blog 3 times a week. BenCMartinez.wordpress.com, just about anything autographs, and my autograph website, which is bmartsautographs.weebly.com, and also my Twitter, where I post a lot of successes and then some news stories. bmart702 is that. And what about you, Mike?
Well, you can check my website out at themikekane.com, Kane spelled with a K, K-A-N-E. If you do a lot of IPing in your area, check my website out. Every time I go out, I'll update it, kind of with hits or misses. That way you guys can sort of see what to expect when you guys are going out. And it's Twitter is the same, at themikekane.
Cool. Also, guys, check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/autographweekly if you guys are big users of Twitter. Sometimes we hold some Twitter-only giveaways there, so go check that out, twitter.com/autographweekly. Also, of course, Facebook. We use Facebook for almost everything, facebook.com/autographweekly. And, guys, we talk about iTunes every week, but seriously, if you haven't gone to iTunes and rated and commented on our podcast, we would really appreciate it because it really does help us out. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage, and you take care. All of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.